Congregation, the text for this evening hour is from the portion that we have read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Mark 3, verses 7 and 8. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. Coming to Christ. For we read, when they heard those great things, they came unto him. Coming to Christ. In the first place, congregation, the attraction to Christ. In the second place, the gathering unto Christ. And in the third place, the healing by Christ. The attraction to Christ, the gathering unto Christ, and the healing by Christ. It's amazing to see how people can be attracted to certain popular speakers on online platforms with all kinds of topics. People are attracted. They want to listen to that speaker, or they want to learn more about that topic. And let's be honest, also in our circles, sometimes people, they really go for that minister or for, well, you know what I mean, I guess. But in this Bible portion, it's remarkable to read how all kinds of people gathered unto Christ. And the question is, why did they come? What were they looking for? Upon this point in the Gospel of Mark, four clashes have been recorded, direct or indirect, between Jesus and the Pharisees. They had bitter accusations against him. They even accused Jesus of blasphemy. And they, as we read, started to make plans to destroy him. And at that point, Mark tells us that the Lord Jesus withdrew himself to the seashore. From the beginning, there was that enmity against the Lord Jesus. But Jesus didn't seek that head-on confrontation yet with those religious authorities, because his time had not yet come. Calvary is still far away. And Jesus decides that for this moment, the seashore suits him better than, for instance, the synagogue as a place to preach the gospel unto the people. That was the reason that Jesus went to that seashore in Galilee, the Lake of Galilee, and the disciples followed him. The number of the disciples wasn't yet complete, for this is the beginning, early beginning, of what is called the Galilean ministry of Christ. But from the beginning, there was a large crowd following Jesus, like we read in verse 7. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea. People from all different directions came to Jesus even verse 8, from Jerusalem and from Idumea, a place far away, even beyond Jordan, as we read here in verse 8. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, they all came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Mark explains unto us for what reason these people came to Jesus. What attracted them to Jesus? Verse 8 says, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. The report of the miracles the Lord Jesus Christ performed, that report had spread around. And people heard of those wondrous deeds of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that attracted them. And that made them to come unto him. For instance, boys and girls, a lame man told how he had been made to leap like a hart. And the blind man declared that his eyes were opened, that the Lord Jesus performed these great wonders. And a leper couldn't keep silent, for the Lord had healed him from his terrible disease. And these wonders passed from mouth to mouth, and it attracted the people to gather unto the Lord Jesus. The blind and the lame and the sick, oh, they heard those things and they drew hope from what they heard. You can imagine. They drew hope. The blind said, I heard that he healed one like myself. If I went to Jesus, who knows? He would also heal me from my blindness. And the palsied man, he said, well, I heard of one even miserable as I am. And he was recovered through the wondrous deeds of Jesus from Galilee. Who knows? If I could get near to Jesus and only touch his garment, I would be healed. And congregation, even more, they heard to encourage them. They also heard that Jesus was delighted to help people in their needs, that he was full of mercy, that he was willing and that he was able and full of compassion. That report was heard in those days, for Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil even, and that God was with him. That was the report, that Jesus had the will and the power to recover. And hearing those facts attracted the people. It gave them hope. And the result was, like Mark says, that they came unto him. And I think there also was another reason why they came. They were also urged to come because of their own sad condition. For some of those sick, they were full of pain. full of misery because of their bodily disease. And others suffered maybe for years, even maybe for a lifetime, being blind or crippled and lame. Because of their own sad condition, they came unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They experienced it by themselves. I am blind. I am sick. I am helpless. And this personal situation of those people made them to have a personal interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they heard about him and his wondrous deeds, and they were also thinking of themselves and the need within their own heart and their own lives. And that made them to come. In other words, these people, they had a cause that made them to come to Jesus. And that's a lesson for us this evening, congregation. Whether you are healthy or maybe suffering through physical or mental illnesses. But this portion contains also lessons, spiritual lessons for us. First lesson is to know your spiritual misery, to know the disease of your soul. And not only to know it and to see it, but to feel it for yourself. For those blind and lame and poor, or whatever their circumstances were, they knew it, they saw it, they experienced it. They had a cause, they had a need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They experienced that reality day by day, even hour by hour. And that made them to come. When they heard that message that Jesus was able and willing to perform wondrous things. Do you know about a cause? That cause of your sins and misery. That you stand in need of this one and only Savior, mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to lay his hand upon a holy and a righteous God, and lay the other hand upon a poor and a needy sinner. Bring them together through that wonder of reconciliation. They had a cause to know your lost condition. Have you ever, between God and your heart, realized how wretched we are? That we come short of the glory of God. That we are all sinners before God's holy countenance. That we can stand before him. That in the light of God's holy law, we are a cursed people. Oh, then you will find joy in that gospel message of salvation. Then we begin to have a real interest in the gospel message that speaks about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is a fountain of blood opened in that precious Savior. So misery will open the need, will raise the need in your heart for a Savior. We also read about the Pharisees and the scribes and all those self-righteous Jews in this portion. They turned away from Jesus. They turned their back to Jesus in verse 6. But on the other hand, the needy, the poor, the sick, the blind, the lame, they came unto him. That's the contrast between the verses 6 and 8. Where the Pharisees were offended, there was a great multitude who had that interest in Christ. And they even pressed upon him. Verse 9. And they fell down before him. Verse 11. Oh, try to picture that congregation. And they cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. They came to Jesus with their cause and with their need. They had a need for him. Do you? Do we have a need for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that without that Lord Jesus, you will perish forever? Oh, when sin is laid bare in our soul, when that disease of sin is opened up, when we get stripped of all our strength and wisdom, then we learn that we are unable to help ourselves. And for such a people, congregation, this gospel is such a good news. Has it been for you that good news to hear about the Lord Jesus and his restoring power and his great love, that he came into this world to seek those that are lost? Oh, what a blessed news. It was a message of hope for these people. When those needy people heard about the wonders Jesus performed, hearing that message, it brought hope in their hearts. They heard what Jesus was doing, the great things that he did. And coming unto him in one way or the other, they must have been convinced of his power and of his willingness to accept and to receive them, and how he was ready to deliver them. Oh, it's hard to express that the gospel is such a good news for broken-hearted sinners. It is such a message of hope. Such a glad tiding to hear in all your need of the things the Lord Jesus performs as a willing and a great Savior. That he justifies from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. Oh, isn't that the happiest news for a sinner who cries out, what must I do to be saved? And this moves the sinner to come and to flee toward him in whose hands is eternal life. But congregation, there's even more to notice here in this story. For these people they did not only come to Christ because they were sick and afflicted. For probably they had already for a long time known about their sad conditions. And they stayed in their homes, being blind, being sick, being lame. For years and years they already had to say to themselves, I am sick. I am unable. There's no one to be found who can cure me. But now they have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they knew their own need. And they felt their emptiness. But coming unto the Lord Jesus means that those people, they believed in Him. They had faith in their hearts that Jesus was able to save to the uttermost. And they came to Him perceiving that His ability fitted to their poverty and to their illness and to their personal situation. That is what the text says. They heard it, those great things, and then they came unto Him. Isn't this a precious example, congregation, that faith comes by hearing? And that hearing comes by preaching. And that's why it's such a blessing that the Lord provided again a minister for Carterton to preach that gospel for you, young people and elderly people. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by preaching. So these people, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came unto Him. And two things make a sinner to come to Christ. To know your misery. And to hear and believe that Christ is able to help and to save. These two matters draw sinners to Christ. It's often found in the teachings of the Puritans how sinners come to Christ. And it can really be a struggle in your heart, maybe, and in your life. What's coming to Christ? What is that true coming to Christ? And the Puritans say there are two things that are in that true coming to Christ. There is a mixture in the heart of hope and fear. A mixture of hope and fear. Fearing because of your sad condition. Fear because of your lost state. Fear because of how great my sins and miseries are. Fear. Also hope. Because what the gospel says, and the gospel makes us to hear about that great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that gospel invites the poor and the needy to come unto Him. Come unto Me, says Jesus, and you shall be saved. So that gospel message, that was the attraction that made them to come. And they gathered unto Christ. For hearing wasn't enough, you know. they heard that others were received by Christ and were healed by Christ. But hearing for them was not enough. They were attracted, true, but they also gathered unto Christ. They came unto Him. They were moved to come, to flee towards Him. Oh, what a sight that must have been. People with all kinds of miseries and poverty and circumstances, they gathered unto the Lord Jesus. So that's also, congregation, a lesson for us. It's not enough to hear about Jesus. It's necessary to come unto Jesus. To flee unto Him. For salvation. For refuge. For reconciliation unto God. The Lord Jesus told us that parable about I think you know that parable, boys and girls, about that foolish builder. That foolish builder, you know, he built his house upon sand. And the Lord Jesus makes that application. That foolish builder was somebody who had heard the word, but he didn't act according to what he had heard. Oh, it's such a danger to be satisfied with being just a hearer of the word. Do you see that danger? God's word warns us for that great danger. Maybe you can say about yourself, well, I'm a regular attender, a regular hearer of the Word of God, and I'm faithful. I don't skip any church services. Maybe you can even express that there is a kind of affection in your heart, hearing sermons that are preached, and that you would not like to miss a Sunday service. But if there isn't more than that in your heart and in your life, then you are in great danger. The Apostle James says, chapter 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Only hearing the word of God will not save you. Don't be a deceiver of yourself. What do you think of a man who is starving by hunger? And that poor starving man hears that there is bread. And that bread is given away for free. And it's given away for free for the poor, for the needy. It's without money, without price. Oh, that man could say, I heard such a blessed message. It was such a rich message that I heard. There is bread for the poor, for the hungry. But if that man does not come to the place where that food is given, what will happen? He will starve. He will die with hunger. For merely hearing that there is bread. That couldn't fill his empty stomach. That couldn't take his hunger, his starving hunger, away. There is a need to come and to believe. And that touches often our problem, doesn't it, congregation? That we do not really know our misery, our poverty, being hungry, thirsty. We are so often satisfied by only being a hearer of God's word. Like the Pharisees, they turned away from Jesus. They said, "Are we blind that our eyes need to be opened? Are we hungry? Are we poor? Are we miserable?" No, we are not. We are the candidates of the kingdom of heaven. We are the seed of Moses. We are the circumcised people. We are set aside. We are the people of the covenant. They turned away from Jesus. But on the other hand, the blind and the lame and the poor, they heard that message. And they came toward Jesus. You see how they came and how the need drove them to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking, "What must I do to be saved?" When you feel in your heart, "I'm lost forever and ever if I do not come to that Lord Jesus Christ." And I admit, congregation, can be a struggle in your heart and in your life. But are you convinced that you need that Savior? That there is that need to come unto Him, that Son of David, that He would have mercy upon me, a sinner? And those people who came to the Lord Jesus Christ, they came to Him. They didn't stop at His disciples. Nay, they came to the Master Himself. That's also a lesson, don't you think? For Satan throws everything in the ring to keep sinners away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he makes us to look upon man instead of upon the Master, upon that minister, upon that preacher, upon that child of God, maybe. Or often he makes us to look upon ourselves. But the blind, they know, "I am not able to open my own eyes." And the lame and the crippled, they know, "I am not able to raise myself up." And with their need, they didn't come to the disciples. They didn't bring their need to man, but they needed the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one who could cure their misery. Oh, so often we look away from the Lord Jesus Christ and we look upon ourselves, or we look upon others for help and for comfort. But do you know that experience of Christian in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? He describes how Christian with that burden on his back, that he came to the Mount Sinai. And how closer he came to that Mount Sinai, the heavier became that burden on his back. And there was even flashing and lightning coming forth from the mountain. And Christian was afraid that he would be burned alive. And I think that often we need that experience to look away from seeking a cure in man, in others, in ourselves, in our performances. But there is no cure for our lost soul, for that terrible disease of sin and iniquity, but only in the blood of Christ. And the Lord wouldn't do it if he wouldn't need it. That lightning and that flashing because of his holy law. But we stand in need of it. To look away from ourselves. And to flee straightly to the Lord Jesus Christ. For not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save. And thou alone. It's another thing to notice. These people came to the Lord Jesus Christ just as they were. Suppose they had said, oh sure, I need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he's the only one that can recover us and help us and deliver us from all our need. But I have to make myself more fitting to come unto the Lord Jesus. I think they would have never been healed if they stayed in that attitude. But the blind came as blind. And the poor came as poor. And the lame came. It's crippled and paralyzed. And there is no other way coming to Christ just as you are. To come as unworthy, as guilty, as empty, as filthy as you are. With your empty hands, with all your sins, with all your iniquities. And that's why coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is so difficult for our proud nature. Because we would like to come as a more godly man, as a more repenting people. What a blessing. When it becomes reality in your heart and in your life, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. To come unto him. Just as you are. And the gospel assures us that Jesus will not put you to shame. They came to him just as they were. And he healed them all. But let us now first sing from Psalter 403, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for his saints to tell his praise abroad. The Lord our God builds up his church. He seeks her wandering sons. He binds their wounds and gently heals the broken hearted ones. Psalter 403, 3 stanzas. That affection unto Jesus, congregation. And then they gathered unto him. And then we read in Luke 6 and Matthew 12, that same story, that's parallel in the three first Gospels. And there is something very precious added. There we read in Luke and with Matthew, and he healed them all. He refused no one. No one was sent away unhealed. All were healed by Jesus. He will not send you away. And you come to him crying, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me, a sinner. He will fulfill all your need, all your misery. For he himself invites and says, that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast you out. Oh, you may feel that you are worthy to be cast out. But he will not cast you out. It is true. He will help and save to the uttermost. They were all healed. Oh, that proclaims God's glory. Since Adam's fall, since paradise lost, never one sinner was driven back from that throne of grace. Whoever calls upon the Lord our God in Jesus Christ shall be saved. Oh, to no one the Lord Jesus said, your situation is too miserable. You have sinned too much and too long. Or now you're too old. Or boy, girl, you are way too young to seriously come and repent and believe in me. No, he never said such a word. No, he healed them all. For his blood is sufficient. And his power is sufficient. There is a full salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a comforting gospel. When John the Baptist was in Herod's prison, he was in doubt and in temptation. And then the Lord Jesus sent a message to John in his spiritual struggle. When he was tempted and he was discouraged. And what was the message that the Lord Jesus, through the disciples of John the Baptist, sent unto him? Tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How the blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor, the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That was the message for John the Baptist. Jesus didn't send a message to John. John, you were my forerunner. You pointed to me as the Lamb of God that taketh away all the sins. You were called and sent by God to prepare the road. No. That wasn't the message that Jesus sent to him. Tell unto John what you have seen and what you have heard. Exactly the same as in Mark 3. That the blind see, and that the lame walk, and that the lepers are cleansed, and that the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and that unto the poor the gospel is preached, and that he healed them all. And that message, we believe, was for John the Baptist in prison, in struggle, in spiritual struggle, as a light from heaven in a dark place. And that also healed the soul. John the Baptist. Don't be offended. There is a welcome to me, says the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a reception the Lord Jesus has prepared for needy and unclean and undeserved. To heal you, to cleanse you, to comfort you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That promise. I will give you rest. Whatever the reasons are for your unrest, come unto me. I will give you rest. And this is all to God's glory and to God's honor and to our salvation. Oh, there was that great multitude. They heard what great things he had did. And congregation, isn't that also our privilege? Like those people we hear from God's own word, from God's own mouth. Because through his word and through the preaching of the word, God himself speaks unto us. And we also hear about great, great things. That he is the God of our salvation. And that unto the Lord our God belong the issues of death and of life. He is still the God of salvation. Jesus is still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever and ever. And he healed them all. He performs wondrous things. Hearts, stony hearts, renewed. Pride destroyed. Sins forgiven. Oh, see how able and how willing the Lord Jesus is. Open your Bibles. Listen to the preaching of the gospel. What God makes us to hear about his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible over and over again teaches us of all kinds of people coming to the Lord Jesus with their needs. Why is it in the Bible about that report about Manasseh? About Mary Magdalene. And so many others. It's in the Bible so that you would not despair. For Jesus is still that same willing and able Savior. Although now he's lifted up in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But you know what the Bible does and what the preaching of the gospel does when the gospel is rightly preached? Then the curtain is taken away. And it shows us who Jesus is. That great Son of God. That one and only mediator. That there is still room to be saved in him. Therefore the gospel calls upon us. Repent. Turn away from your sin. And seek forgiveness. In the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, will not despise this gospel message. Will not only be a hearer of the word. But become a doer. Of the word. And when you are sick of yourself, and sick of your sin and sick of all those things that make you guilty in your own sight before God. Come unto Him, for there is hope. Hope for you. For you. And for whoever you are. Hope. For me. For such a one as me. Well, tell me. Who is more fit to be saved than the lost? Who is more fit to be healed by Jesus than the sick and the blind and the lame and the crippled? Are you such a one? Come unto Him. Finally, the Lord Jesus forbid to be advertised at the end of this story, for His time had not yet come. But that doesn't mean that His people, that we are not called to proclaim His holy name. Think of the shepherds when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. The shepherds, they heard, even from an angel. Reverend Fergus and I, we are not angels. We are the same as you. But they heard it from an angel, that the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And then they said, oh, let us go and let us see what we have heard. Just like these people. And then we read of those shepherds. And that's the calling, the holy call for all those that have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and were healed by Him. And we read of those shepherds' congregation, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, as it was told unto them. That's the precious experience of a people healed by Christ. It was true. It was really true what I had heard. What was told of Him is true. And that's to the glory of God, congregation. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. May He be glorified. Amen. Let's now close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy holy word, for the visible gospel in this morning hour, and for the audible gospel in this evening again. Wilt Thou apply it to our hearts, that we as a poor and needy people not only will be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Wilt thou bless the preaching of the gospel, and draw sinners unto Thee, and make them to see their need, and to come to that willing and able Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have to cry out, but Lord, I am an unworthy one. Oh, it's true. We have to confess. We are unworthy. But Jesus, He is worthy. Salvation is only in Him, in Thy only begotten Son. Lord, wilt Thou be with us in this evening hour, in the week that has begun, in our schoolwork, in our daily work. Will thou be with us also in the meetings that will be held as consistory, in this visitation, that it also may be blessed to the glory of thy name and to the upbuilding of the congregation. Will thou remember us in thy beloved Son, in the forgiveness of all our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.